This is the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, bringing you the info you need to make your next move a great one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Chester County Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Dominski, and this is the show that gives you the information you need to make your next move a great one. Today, I'm sitting down again with Jim Whalen.
Agent, hi, everyone.
Agent here at RE/MAX Ace Realty, and we're going to talk a little bit about the game of flipping. And I know it's not a game. It's not a game. But there seems to be a lot of winners and losers. So real quick, Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and kind of explain to us what is house flipping.
All right. Thank you, Sean, for having me here today. What house flipping is purchasing a property that is distressed, either bank-owned or state-owned, mm-hmm. in a heavy disrepair. Mm-hmm. Updating it, improving it, mm-hmm. and within 6 months, putting it back on the market mm-hmm. to be sold at a much higher price mm-hmm. for a profit, as we would all hope. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, I've been doing this real estate business for 25 years. Okay? I've done everything from the single-wide trailers in Honeybrook mm-hmm. to multi-lot subdivisions through Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot and I've done a lot. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing when you're looking at flips is how are you going to make it profitable? Mm-hmm. It doesn't start when you buy the flip. It starts much earlier on when you identify it.
Really? Because that's, you know, most people think you make the money when you sell it. Because if you don't sell it, you don't make any money. A little, you know, smarter people realize you make the money when you buy it. So what are we looking at? What's going into the identifying a flip?
Well, when you come to identify a flip, mm-hmm. I've always had a rule of rule of three. 30% should go into purchase, 30% improvements, 30% is the hopeful profit.
Okay.
All right. And I'll give an example. $100,000 home, mm-hmm. all right, that purchase. Mm-hmm. You put $100,000 of improvements into it. Mm-hmm. And on a really, really good day, mm-hmm. you would hope to sell it for $300,000. Mm-hmm. That's the 30-30 rule.
Sure.
Okay. But how do you get to that point? Mm-hmm. Well, first thing you got to look at is what area am I going to target? Am I targeting single-family homes? Am I targeting twins? Am I targeting townhouses? Mm-hmm. What's the average sale price of finished, updated, completed homes in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. in that development? All right. A lot of people use Zillow and some of the other sites to evaluate what you could get for this house, okay? Mm-hmm. But you also got to make sure you're comparing your house to similar homes, all right? Zillow's algorithm is they take an average of what everything's selling within a half mile. Mm-hmm. They give an average price, and that's what the houses are all worth, mm-hmm. regardless if it's a two-bedroom condo or the 3,600-square-foot two-car garage, four-bedroom with a pool.
Yeah.
Everything's an average of that price.
Well, to a point, you know, it makes sense to be like, oh, it's a 400 neighborhood, that's a 250 neighborhood, that's a 650 neighborhood. There is a general idea that's good to have when you're, like, just identifying initially, right?
There is.
Like, you don't have to run, like, a CMA for every single
house. No, there's not. And so you can always buy by your gut.
Yeah. Well, you're not. Okay. Well, starting with your gut.
Right. Starting with your gut.
You like have a going gut in feeling. A direction from a gut feeling.
It could work.
Yeah.
All right. You want to be able to say, okay, I have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhouse mm-hmm. where the association does all the maintenance outside. Mm-hmm. So everything I need to do is interior work. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to come in and I want to replace the carpets and I'm going to paint and I'm going to put in all new appliances. and I'm going to at least clean the heating system, make sure that's working, make sure my ductworks are all clean, that's all pet dander and mold free, and my air conditioning works. Mm-hmm. And if there's any problems, I want the HOA to take care of it. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're going to splurge, and you might put, you know, instead of quartz countertops, you're going to go to granite, and you're going to do travertine instead of just common tile. Mm-hmm. Great idea, if your price warrants it.
Right.
Okay. A lot of times, flippers run into the trap where they feel that they have to put in a lot of upgrades for a house that's still only worth X amount of dollars.
Right, because there's such thing as over-improving for the area, for a neighborhood.
Correct, mm-hmm. correct. If your neighborhood sells for $250,000, mm-hmm. you know what your budget should be on interior of a home mm-hmm. for what your sale price is. If the neighborhood sells for $250,000, you can't be buying a house for anything over $150,000.
Right.
Okay. And what happens is some flippers, especially when they're starting out, they think it's a good deal because it's the lowest price in the neighborhood, but it might mm-hmm. be only $20,000 under mm-hmm. or $30,000 under. And I have to buy it because I'm ready to go do my flip. Mm-hmm. And their budget is suddenly $80,000 because they didn't do their homework. And now they're the highest priced home that no one has ever gotten that sale price for. And it's still sitting on the market for several months. Mm-hmm. Making those interest payments, making the hard money loan payments. That's how they get in trouble. They've overbuilt and they overplanned. Mm-hmm.
Can you underbuild? Can you underdo it? Because there's the other ones where they go in and it's just builder grade everything you can find. Does it ever make sense to step it up a little bit? And what's the best way to tell?
You got to know your market.
Yeah.
All right. Go to some open houses in the development if there's some. Mm-hmm. Go on Realtor.com. See what the trends are in that area. Mm-hmm. Go out and talk to a local real estate agent.
I was going to say, at what point is the role of the agent getting involved here, because really giving you some, like, I have to be careful because there's certain things an agent can do, certain things a broker can do, and certain things a lawyer can do, but giving Correct. You an idea of the market, what's the agent's role in that?
Well, you're going to come out, you're going to ask an agent for a property that you like.
Yeah.
Can you do a CMA or a market analysis and show me what this house could be selling for, mm-hmm. totally improved.
Right.
And show me a CMA for houses in a similar condition. Mm-hmm. Am I paying too much? Am I paying too little?
Can you real quick kind of summarize the difference between a CMA, which is a comparative market analysis, mm-hmm. And an appraisal?
All right. A market analysis is what's currently being sold on the market. It's a snapshot. Mm-hmm. You know, the agent does not do room dimensions. Mm-hmm. They might compare square feet, but they're not giving all the features of every home. Mm-hmm. They're not doing multiple angles for every room and pictures. Mm-hmm. Okay? An appraisal, that only gives the snapshot of the market, but also the condition of the home. They do the square footage. They physically measure the square footage. They physically take pictures of the entire home, of its utilities. They make notations to a lender or a paid appraisal to an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, the damages that are redoing deductions, mm-hmm. they're taking that value down. Okay, a bad roof, a aged heating system, a functionally but obsolete air conditioning system. Mm-hmm. Anything like that takes the value down.
And when you're looking at the market, you don't know if the last sale needed a new air conditioner, unless they might have uploaded the seller's disclosure, but that's not guaranteed.
That's true. So, that is true.
So that's where a CMA is going to give you an idea, but there's going to be some
There'll be some glitches. Of course it will be. You know, and it's not a value that can be used to lend money.
Yeah.
Compared to an appraisal that can.
Okay.
There's a lot more schooling involved in an appraiser than what a CMA, a market analysis, will do.
And obviously an appraisal costs a lot more money.
Considerably more.
Yeah. So so the agent's coming in there giving you an idea of what it could potentially sell for in that market.
Correct.
Once the upgrades are done or brought up to a certain level.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about, Sean, for Underimproving. I know. Words, not so good. Underimproving a property.
Yeah.
Coming in doing Corian or Formica countertops in a kitchen that you're trying to sell for $500,000 because your budget is shot.
Yeah.
Will not help you. Okay.
Right.
You need to have certain things in the price range because it's expected.
Yeah.
And that's where a CMA, a market analysis, will help you show what is expected.
Do you think
a property.
Some of that, I mean, how much of that is coming from someone's gut? Like, I look at sometimes like asking an agent is kind of like, hey, this neighborhood, what is expected in this neighborhood? Like, how much of that can you draw from the data, and how much is it kind of like, well, we kind of have to, I don't want to say guess, but take an educated guess there.
Well, the educated guess on the CMA comes from looking at houses that have sold in that price range within a mile or 2 miles that have similar attributes and what got the higher price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it the LED lighting? Was it the landscaping, which is always important for a flip? Mm-hmm. Always landscape. Always have the manicured lawn. You're better off having the best lawn on the block with the best gardening and things compared to everybody else. I appeal the first introduction to a flip is the most important. If you walk into a flip with overgrown grass that still looks like a construction site, you're not going to get the money you expect. And so many flippers forget about the landscaping till the end. Okay, I have $50 left. I'll go to Home Depot and get,
seed or whatever.
Throw some grass seed down and 10 bags of mulch and it'll look great. No, it won't.
Okay.
You always have to consider the introduction to the house. The first look is on the outside, is the landscaping, is the front porch, if it's a twin, and the exterior painting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go low. You want your property to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have a trend of painting brick. You know, you see a gray, you see a black. You don't see many white brick.
Not anymore.
No.
I grew up in a white brick.
Okay. But you also have to remember, those colors do hide your defects.
Yeah.
Okay? The other thing you got to remember is paint peels off a brick.
Yeah.
And creates more maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And if not done right, peels quick.
Mm.
All right? When you do a flip, think of less maintenance for the next user.
Yeah.
You know, less maintenance will create a more desirable product.
I guess that's the other thing, too, to not forget that the person who buys your house, most likely, at least in this area, is going to be represented.
Correct.
And agents aren't idiots. Well, for the most part, not when it comes to houses.
No.
And, you know, like, an agent, someone else who's done this more than once, probably a little bit more educated than the buyer, can see, hey, this was a flip. The builder or the flipper did the bare minimum, and in 6 months you're going to be redoing the stuff or not. And that's kind of what you're saying is, like, you think you just need to put some lipstick on that, flip it, move it, and you can walk away. But they're looking at that. They can tell if it was.
Most buyers are shrewd enough and smart enough in this market. You know, they're watching the HGTV. They're watching Magnolia. They're watching FYI. They're watching first-time flippers. They're watching to see how things look, how things could look.
Yeah.
But they're also walking through new construction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If they're a first-time home buyer, they're going to look at that anyway. Even if they can't afford it, they're going to go through it.
Sure.
And they're going to see how something should be done.
Yeah.
Many flippers think they can do some jobs themselves. As long as you are skilled in it, go to it. All right. If you can paint great, paint. Mm-hmm. One recommendation, always do a professional drywall job. Always get a professional to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, seams, bad coatings, bad corners show up quickly in light. It is a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
Always have a professional do that job.
Okay.
All right. Have a professional do your electrical work. It also takes over your liability. You had a professional do it. Heating systems as well.
Right.
Have a professional do them.
Now, if you want to paint a room yourself,
you go right ahead.
Maybe you can do that.
If you can do your own tile work, and you can do it if you feel confident to do it.
Yeah.
All right. That's how you save money. That's how you can make your flip profitable.
You know, on a side note, I always had this great feeling because, you know, I'm a big fan of starter homes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, people come out of college and you want to live in the house that you grew up in, but you forget, like, hey, there was a process there. My first starter home, my first house wasn't in a great neighborhood. But the great thing was that if I tackled a project myself and I just kind of screwed it up, it was still better than the ones before.
Correct.
And the nice thing about kind of starting small, starting low, not too low, but in more reason, not taking on a bigger project than you can handle, is that a lot of times you can learn a little bit.
Correct.
There's a little bit of, you can go through that process a little bit more. What works, what doesn't, what you can do, what you can't do, what you don't want to do. So, you know, I'm a big fan of kind of starting small and working your way up, whether it's flipping or investing or just living, buying houses. I've noticed it's never a bad idea.
No, it's never a bad idea. Like you're showing with your own rental investments.
Yeah.
All right. You've started small and you've built up. Mm-hmm. And you've known where, what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah.
You know where to draw the line. When you're flipping, you should also be able to know where you need to draw the line. You should also know where your budget is before you purchase.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can spend X amount of dollars on this property.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you bring in your contractor who's going to be doing the major work, or a home inspector, and say, will this fit into my budget?
Right.
Do I need to replace 4 termite damaged beams?
Yeah.
Do I need to put that header on that kitchen wall that I want to remove and it's going to cost me $5,000? Is that in my budget?
Right.
And that can make you or break you. I've shown many homes recently that were purchased by flippers who have walked away.
Mm.
They gave the money, sent the keys back to the bank and say, it's not my problem anymore. I screwed it up and I can't afford it. But here, you try. And you see, I'm seeing that more and more, and especially in this past 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Are there opportunities for profit on buying flips like that? Mm-hmm. Of course there are.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in with your budget and your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make you profitable. All right, that's the biggest thing. Find out what your home values are. Find out what your project's costs are. And seeing if they merge. All right.
So, another big question. What's the best way to find a house to flip?
You can contact your local realtor.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, as we do our search parameters in the MLS, there are ways that we can put in saying heavy rehab.
Yeah.
Or poor condition, or winterized, or bank-owned properties.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
In those searches, it'll give us the list on an average.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked with several investors currently.
Mm-hmm.
On an average, there's about 200 to 250 homes in the tri-county area that are in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them are priced at market value. and will be on the market a very long time. Mm-hmm. All right. And there's others that, with the right contractor, with the right purpose, with the right plan, can make a good profit. Mm-hmm. You can make anywhere from 20 to 30%, which is where the rule of thumb should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So would you recommend that even – so on-market properties aren't necessarily a bad buy when it comes to flipping. At the same time, if you're working with an agent, they can negotiate it down. Like, hey, that is high. But,
correct.
You know, we're looking at other factors here, and if that agent's experienced in that area, they'd be able to say, yeah, that's there's not a lot of opportunity there, or there's more opportunity there than you think.
Well, with the local agent, they know the market,
yeah.
Okay? But they're also going to know and be shrewd enough to say, one of the things you need to do is get a title report, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get a title bring down. It costs you like $150 to $200, depending on the area.
Okay.
And that'll tell you if there's tax liens. That'll tell you if there's mortgages on the property.
Mm-hmm.
If there's mechanics liens, because that person who's trying to sell the house quick stiffed three contractors.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good to know.
Mm. Yeah, because you don't want to be stuck holding that bag.
Right.
You know, a lot of these off-market deals are called from wholesalers.
Yeah.
Okay. They bought a bulk group of properties from a bank or a lending institution or a landlord. Okay. And they're just trying to sell them off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As a wholesale price, you get a good price. You think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you find out they want it as a cash transaction,
mm-hmm.
okay, with a quick close, and you got to use all their people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That doesn't help you. You want to be independent. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Okay. I'll agree to the cash offer, but I'm going to use my title company, mm-hmm. who's going to do the correct title report, who will make sure that everything that you say mm-hmm. is actually true. Okay. There was a politician years ago, he said, trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I trust mm-hmm. you're telling me the truth, but I also want to make sure for it myself.
Right, right.
Okay. You want to go through and make sure that everything they've told you on the liens is true. You also want to make sure that that person actually controls the property.
Right.
Okay. You will find on Facebook and Craigslist and some of these other sites. Guys, there are people that are trying to sell a property that they don't know.
Right.
Or even have control over.
So are these guys basically harvesting leads to
they're
try
harvesting
to sell
leads.
You something else?
They're trying to either sell something else or they're trying to scam you.
Yeah.
All right. I ran into an individual several months ago who thought they were buying a property in Philadelphia. And she didn't feel comfortable with it and says, can you tell me how much this is worth? Because they want me to pay $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bank-owned property, I find. And I'm like, okay, so you're talking to this bank.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking to so-and-so. Well, who's so-and-so? He owns the property. No, he doesn't own the property, Bank of America.
Huh.
Or Wells Fargo or Chase owns the property. How did he meet you? Well, I was walking down the street, and I really was interested in the property, and I saw him standing there. Okay. How does he own the property? How does he have control of the property? Is he an agent, a mm-hmm. listing agent? Is he the attorney? No, I don't think so. I already gave him so much money cash. Really? Do you have a receipt? Do you have a contract? I said, no, but I'm going to settlement. Ma'am, I'm sorry to hate to tell you this, but your money is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Please call the local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it was a Delaware County property, and says you need to call them immediately and or call the attorney,
mm-hmm.
District Attorney's office, and let them know everything. Said they might be able to get your money back and also take a bad person off the street.
Mm-hmm.
So always be aware some of the flips that you see advertised aren't always the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, wholesalers are trying to get the most money possible. All right. Don't jump at the first offer a wholesaler gives you on a property.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a week or two. They'll be more anxious to work with you at that point for that property.
Mm-hmm.
because their money's tied up. They need to go on to their next project. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe the house that you exactly wanted might not be there, but a part of that portfolio might be, and you might be able to make a better profit than the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, or don't some wholesalers, they're basically, what's it called when they're just signing over a note where they never
They're actually straw purchases.
Okay.
They are actually illegal in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, so I see you see this a lot with we buy houses cash. So someone calls a number, and not the literal company. I don't know if there's a company, but the signs that you see. And a lot of times they're handwritten.
A lot of times they're spoofs.
Okay. So someone will say, hey, I want a cash offer for my house. They come in there and say, we'll give you this much money for your house. And then they'll write up a contract, maybe give you a deposit. You have to watch who's holding that deposit.
Always hold that deposit yourself.
So they and they're like, oh, we're going to put a deposit in this bank. We're going to make you this offer, and then we're going to close in 2 months or 6 weeks, 6 to 8 mm-hmm. weeks. What you don't see is now they're going out and they're selling that house for even more.
Correct. And that's how they make their money.
And then they find an investor, and now that investor is willing, you know, so if they said, we'll give you 200, the investor says, I'll give you, like, I'll buy that house off you for 250. The wholesaler is hoping to walk away with 50 grand and never have to actually put any of their own money up or do anything. Is that illegal, or that's a practice?
In the state of it's a practice that's done.
Yeah.
In the state of Pennsylvania, a contract is part of a real estate contract is consideration. What is consideration? Money. Okay. If a person's not willing to put money up into a deposit, an escrow account,
yeah,
that is either not controlled by you or them, an independent escrow account.
Okay.
They really don't have the money, and you're most likely involved in some type of gray area real estate transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't want to be dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
If the person doesn't gives you 100 excuses why they can't give you that deposit,
mm-hmm.
end the conversation with them. They're not really a buyer. They're looking for somebody else to make money off of after they've made money off of you as well.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily flipping. Flipping is when you actually buy the house.
And do work.
Do work and then sell it.
Correct.
So that's a little bit different than, you know, and the wholesaling that you described, which is when you're buying groups of properties at a discount and then reselling them to investors.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And you can actually do, if you have the potential of workers,
mm-hmm.
the wholesalers will sell you a bulk group of homes
mm-hmm.
for a much better price. But mm-hmm. you also have to be prepared for that work, for that schedule as well.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a $200,000 house, you might be buying three houses for $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
It helps your profit, but you better be prepared to do all that work at once.
Right, because otherwise you're carrying those houses.
Correct.
And that includes maintenance, taxes,
and if you finance.
And insurance. And then on top of that, if you're financing the purchase at all, any of those expenses. But those are the expenses even if you paid for it out of pocket, cash, right?
Correct. Yeah. There's still an expense that's less cash that you can work with.
Mm-hmm.
Another hint to work with, when you're dealing with a flip, and some contractors will argue this point, but buy your own materials.
Okay.
Don't go cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time you want a middle range carpet, a middle range flooring, a middle range windows,
mm-hmm.
middle range cabinets. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes, there's contractor discounts, but you can ask for those discounts too, because mm-hmm. you're buying a large group of items.
Okay.
You can actually, and a lot of times, take advantage of sales and plan out your scheduling on when things get delivered as well.
Mm.
There's always a markup when you're dealing with a contractor buying materials for you. There's always a handling charge. There's always a storage charge.
Right.
And I ask them if there is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they don't, that's great. But always ask if there is.
Okay.
A good contractor will be straightforward with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you're buying materials, how much is your labor costs?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's very helpful.
Thank you.
I hope so. I'm trying to remember. I want to make sure we don't miss anything. You know what? Real quick. You were talking about insurance. Is it cost different?
There's a higher cost for an empty property.
That's what I was trying to
ask. Or under construction property compared to a normal
occupied property.
Occupied, move-in, ready property.
So that's something to consider if you're going to be spending 6 months flipping a house, or correct, if you're holding a house that's not being sold. At some point, the insurance company is going to say, oh, that's unoccupied. We need to make sure
correct,
we need to compensate
you also
for that.
Have to remember, you have people coming in and out of your house doing deliveries
yeah,
and doing work. You want to make sure you're insured and covered mm-hmm, for any kind of an accident that would happen.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know.
All right, because you don't want to risk that just the contractor's insurance will cover you on their property, on your property. Make sure your insurance covers them as well.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you work with people looking to flip houses?
I always do.
Okay. What's the best way for people to get in touch with
you? They can reach me either by my cell phone, 610-348. Mm-hmm. 7457 or at jameswhalen@remax.net.
Okay. Great.
Or .com. I'm sorry, .com.
.com. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Sean.
You.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. This has been the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by RE/MAX Ace Realty, serving buyers and sellers in the Chester County area. Subscribe for new episodes at acerealtypa.com/podcast. And you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever podcasts are found.